Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Dickerson.
I love Dick.
And Wiggy.
Boobies?
Booty.
Dick and Wiggy.
So we're faced with coming in here, and I know people are pissed.
Get out of here. Get your ass out of here. Stop taking pictures of my head.
There's a lot of emotions out there.
You seem pretty emotional about this.
And I get it.
Turp derp, like I get it.
The death threats are a little too much.
I'm feeling a bit threatened.
Yeah, stop coming after my kids.
That's a lie.
You're just pissed off because you like
mean,
Jerry
we should go to, like,
and
the
we
local
love
news
well.
And talk about how we're getting death threats?
Oh.
The worst tweet I've ever received. They wanted you guys to die in a pool of AIDS.
It was fun. It was charming. It was cute.
Thank you, Jerry.
Dick and Wiggy on Sports Radio WEEI.
Death threats. Is that what it's come to now at this radio station? Hey,
somebody's getting death threats?
Apparently, if you listen to The Open and you listen to
Glenn,
the afternoon show, and Glenn sometimes, let's put it this way, Wiggy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stretches the truth, maybe just a wee bit.
So he's getting death threats.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
Do we know why? Ken, yeah, I mean, Ken is on the other side. Lucy's
probably
on
some
the other
of his
side.
Basketball takes. I mean, I could see that.
I don't agree with most of Glenn's or a lot of Glenn's basketball takes, but not enough to threaten to kill him. Are there death threats coming in?
I think
at the
Glenn
station?
Now is making the case that he's the face of the station. Now that Jerry has moved on, he's the face,
okay.
And so he's getting all the heat. He's the pincushion for everybody around here. That's, of course, if you believe the premise that he is getting death threats, which Lucy Burge, hard at work this morning for the last hour, combing through the Ordway mentions, I believe found nothing.
I did not find one tweet that mentions dying in a pool of AIDS or death threats for Glenn or anything. I don't think these tweets exist.
But could he have gotten a phone call? Could the station have gotten a phone call?
Ooh.
Could he have had a message left on his voicemail, something like that?
I mean, it could have been a text, but Fourier did say the worst tweet he's ever seen is that one, and I couldn't find anything like that.
Could have been scrubbed already. Yeah. Could have been deleted.
Well, that's when you know you made it, when you got death threats. You gotta welcome that stuff.
You ever? Well, I don't know. About
I
that.
Welcome it. It's like, you know.
Have you ever gotten a death? Have you ever literally, seriously gotten a death threat where something had to be done?
No, I've never gotten one. I've never gotten one. It's like that movie. I forget that movie. Where I think it might have been James Cagney when he's like at the top of the thing. And he's like, you know, like, Mama, I finally made it or something like that. Like, top of the world. That's when you know you made it. When
I'm
you
a got, black man.
When you, I mean, Jerry, listen. Hey, you as a black man, you're going to get some death threats. So, but you know what?
That's you like, are?
Well, no.
Well, I mean, you know, old people get death threats.
Well, that's like I said, when you know you made it. When you get that.
All right, so I made it back in like 2004.
Well, there
I
you
guess.
Go. See, okay. You were top of the world.
I didn't actually think of it that way at first. When I was at Comcast,
mm-hmm.
and somebody called in, left a message at the main at the main desk, and they had to call the police, and they had to get interviewed and all that. No, I'm the one calling the death threats in now to her. No, she wasn't around back then. She was somewhere else.
But did he win the Tommy Award?
And somebody called in and they said, "Oh, I was just joking. I was just trying to get a rise out of it."
So,
but they had to call the cops and everything.
What was the initial reason that you got the death threat?
I don't remember. I think it was just a generalized thing.
Okay,
it wasn't because of one thing that
see,
I
like
said.
Ken said
in general.
With Glenn, it's because he thinks he's now the face of the station. So that's where he thinks that these death threats are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, you don't really know. But and it wasn't serious. They put the cops on and everything.
Yeah. And the guy, you know, like a lot of these things, I mean, you never know.
Right.
But like a lot of these things, it's just, a guy says, I was just trying to be funny.
Right.
I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to get a rise out of somebody. And it was one of those things. But especially nowadays.
Right. See, I wouldn't put law enforcement. I'd put the goons on it. So,
yeah. So it could have been on the text machine, Wiggy.
If I ever get a death threat, I'll call up the goons and let's see if they can take care of it.
So
that's what you needed back then.
A goon squad?
You needed a goon squad.
I had
call
that.
Up.
I had a goon squad.
Oh, you did? So you should have called them and let them
Gary,
take...
Gary Tangway.
You didn't call Gary and say, Gary,
no, I did. I told him.
Take care of this.
I knocked on his office door next to mine, and I said, Gary, take care of this.
Throw the ski mask on and get a little bit of rope and duct tape. No more death threat.
It's a different Tangway back then, Wiggy. It's a little different Tangway than he is right now.
Yeah.
So it's Wiggy and Dickerson in for the Hillman Morning Show.
Yes.
Which will start on July 29th. Until then, it's the two of us today. You got a mixed bag of people tomorrow and the next day, and just stay tuned. You never know who is going to be on the airways here 6 to 10.
It's very fluid in the morning.
Yes, it is. It's a fluid situation.
Wiggy's trying to get used to working with guys named Greg. That's why he requested you specifically.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you going to throw your hat in the ring? Because according to the press release, it says... rotating, what is it, contributors?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
I've already reached out and went by Greg Hill's house, left him a nice bouquet of, you know, fruits on the front stoop.
Lickety-lick.
The
lick,
porch.
Lick.
See if I can get in. So for me, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a Miss Jerry. I still, you know, I'm a talk to him through text message. I'm a Miss Jerry. It was good, you know, even though it was a short period of time for me. With Jerry, but I will say this: he is as real as they come, and all that nonsense that people are spewing about him on social media. As a black man, I've never felt like this dude was racist or said any racist things in any type of way. So
it's funny, there was one. I've heard a number of people say stuff. I saw one tweet last night or yesterday afternoon, and I responded to a person. They're a golf writer.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
You saw that. Okay, and they said something to the effect of, you know, racist, homophobic. What was the third one? Misogynistic. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. Wiggy's a black guy.
Yes.
He's on the show.
Right.
Alex Reamer is openly gay.
Right.
He's on the show.
Right.
I'm kind of confused here because if he was that racist, I can't say sexist, but if he was that racist, he's not sexist.
Right.
If he were that racist and that
homophobic, right?
Why are these guys on the show?
Right. Or it would have reared its ugly head at one point in
time. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and you know, and like I've said this before, you just because somebody doesn't agree with you on a certain things, it doesn't make them, you know, homophobic, racist.
Homophobic? Jerry was infatuated with Reamer's homosexuality.
Right.
No. Just the opposite.
And so, he wanted to know more. I felt uncomfortable sometimes listening to it.
Right. And so I think what hopefully I was able to do, you know, in my, like I said, a short period of time of working with Jerry, you know, it sucks that I'll probably, you know, at least in the immediate future, won't be able to work with him anymore. But the thing that I wanted to just be able to do is just open his eyes to a different world, you know, to a world that just based on where he was from, his age and who he was, he didn't get to see. And that was my world. And so, and I've never felt any way whatsoever like, oh, this dude is like talking sideways or saying something slick or that kind of thing.
Right.
I appreciate that, Jerry. But all that other stuff is, like I said, is all nonsense because hanging out with him afterwards, that's when you can really see somebody's true colors. Like,
right.
So we've had, you know, we've sat down and we've had lunch together and, you know, we spent some time on that Retrex private jet going down to the Super Bowl.
Were you at Encore on Friday?
Yeah, him and I were at Encore on Friday. I got to meet his lovely wife and his son. I mean, you know, he's got a great family. And Jerry was, like I said, as real as they come. And I never felt anything like that around him. You know, even if I didn't agree with some of the stuff he said, it had nothing to do with him, you know, pointing out some of that stuff because of race or anything like that. It's just his beliefs, but that doesn't make him a racist.
And you did say he had one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel,
yeah,
I believe was your quote.
Yeah, I mean, but it's true. You know what I mean? When you get to a certain age, Ken, that's what it is, you know? My grandfather used to say it all the time. When you get above, what's Jerry, like 75 now?
He's like 71, 72. He's not 75 yet.
There you go. One foot on the grave. We all want a banana peel. So
I guess you're right. 70, and, 72, 75.
Yes.
It's not a big, huge difference.
Yeah, once you hit the 70s, it's like, you know what? You might as well.
That's why everybody's talking about Jerry getting another job and doing something. I mean, Come on, you're in your 70s, Jerry. Move on.
You see what happens.
Retire. Kind of like Glenn Oldway.
Right, exactly.
You see what happens generally, like when people, he didn't retire, but some people, when they stop working at that age, 6 months later, they're gone.
They got nothing else to do.
So they don't know what to do with themselves.
Get
back to work, you know?
All I know is, thank God, we got one of the old men out of here. Now Dale's next,
right?
And then Ordway. Anybody over the age of 65 on this radio station,
we need to get rid of.
Is that what it is?
Bring in the youth.
Bring in the youth.
Right. Bring in the people in their 40s. People in their 40s. Thank you very
much. Yes, but now we're gonna. Like I said, I'm a Miss Jerry.
I personally, I'm looking forward to Greg Hill.
Yeah.
And our new morning overlord. I would like to bow and praise and salute the great Greg Hill. One of the great morning show talents, one of the greatest humanitarians.
Are you angling?
Does it sound? No, of course.
No,
I mean this all with my heart and my every true fiber of my being. I've always looked up to Greg Hill.
Okay.
I've always dreamt of being able to work with such a great talent and great human being like Greg Hill.
Yeah, I've been...
I think it's time. I think this is well overdue to bring him over.
Yeah, I've been listening to that podcast, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see, but Danielle, I guess she has Friends with Benefits that she talks about openly on the show.
Really?
I guess Greg Hill's a big foodie, you know, so it'd be interesting to see. Everybody's angling.
I'm not.
That was not impressive at all. You could have stepped your game up there.
Say that again. One more time, Ken?
You guys could do better than that. He's a foodie. That's your flattering.
No, that was him. That's Wiggy.
That's what I heard.
I call the guy a great humanitarian.
That's what I heard on the show. You know, Greg and I think we've sat down a few times. I think I might have done one of his events or went to one of his bars. So,
oh, probably.
Yeah, him and I got a good relationship. I'm angling, Ken. So
Greg Hill Foundation, one of the great foundations and all of charity in the world.
Yeah.
It's right up there with Berkshire Hathaway and all the stuff that that Warren Buffett does.
Great.
Great man.
Yeah, well, he'll be in there in a couple weeks.
I'd be honored if I could ever just be in the same studio.
Well, you and I both.
What do you want to get into this morning, Wiggy?
I don't know. I guess the big talk around here is the 18-game season in the NFL. Is that what it is now?
I guess it's. I don't know if it's a big talker, but obviously it was something that was dumped on us. I think it was late on Friday the story came out?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal. I think actually Thursday night the Wall Street Journal had the post.
Night?
And Kraft, by the way, was one of the two-man NFL ownership crew. He and Jerry Jones that proposed this, right, at the last CBA meeting?
Right, but
I'm all for it.
You're all for it, but yes. in the current incarnation that it's in, I think it's one of the dumbest ideas, and I think that the NFL is brilliant in throwing this out there because they say, okay, we're going to ask for the moon and the stars and the wind.
Right.
We're going to ask for something that there is just no possible way that the players would ever vote for and allow.
Well, I think if you tweaked it a little bit, I know that there has been reports of like, okay, it's an 18-game season, but players can only play in 16 games or something to that effect.
Right.
Which I think that part is stupid. I don't think that.
But that's my point. Where is if you're the owners and you really want this 18-game schedule, and it's obvious that they have for years, you ask for the moon and the stars and everything.
But that's actually a benefit for the players.
18 games?
Well, no, 18 games and you only got to play in 16. You're still paying me for 18 games, and that means I can get, you know, 2 weeks of not playing. So for them to throw that in there, that's not like something that benefits the owners. That actually benefits the players.
Definitely benefits the owners because you've got to make money over those two games as opposed to two preseason games.
Right, but what ends up happening if this, let's say they're 18 games, and let's just say that they're saying that players can only play in 16. So two of those regular season games, you're not going to be able to have, you know, starters playing and that kind of thing, which that's not a benefit for a team because of the fact that what if a team needs to, you know, play one of their starters, but they can't because he's already played in 16 games. I think when you look at the 18-game schedule, and I remember when I was playing, this was something that was kind of like talked about very, you know, very lightly, was if 18 games meant, okay, we're probably going to eliminate two preseason games, right? Which is cool because you ain't paying me like you are in the regular season and preseason. So what that means in the 18 games is now I get to make more money. Players are all for that because the majority of the players in that league, I'd say 70%, 75% of the players in that league, you know, for them it's about the money. So if you're going to add two more games, that means I can get, you know, two more game checks. I'm all for it. Get rid of two preseason games, because at the end of the day, preseason's a joke anyways.
You would know this better than I would. For someone who's inactive,
yes.
Salary does not change at all.
No, okay. Salary does not change. You get paid over 16 weeks in an NFL season. That's what you get paid.
The difference is practice squad. If you get called up, you get paid.
Yes, practice squad money is different. So if you're in a practice squad, it's like you're getting paid, you know, part time, and then as soon as you get brought up to the 53 man roster, now you'd get, you know, full time money, and that money would change for you.
I just can't picture a guy like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, mm-hmm. any other quarterback you want to mention around the league. I can't imagine them saying, "Yeah, you know, I'm willing to go into this game and that game and maybe another couple of games without my left tackle. I'm going to go right in without my right guard and my left guard because, well, they've got to sit." And I don't see how it benefits the game when you've got week eight. Well, Tom Brady's playing, but two-fifths of his offensive line, they're going to sit out this game.
And so for the owners to propose that, right, that doesn't make any sense. If the players were proposing that, saying, okay, we'll do an 18-game season, but we're only, you know, players only have to play in 16 games. That's the max that they can play in the regular season. That benefits the players more than it does the owner. So for the owners to propose this, it makes no sense because, A, like you said, you go into a game and you might be without your starting left tackle. You might be out without your starting running back. You might need to win a playoff game. I mean, think about this. How many games are decided at the end of the season in week? You know, what we see it as of right now, we see it as week 14, 15, 16, or, you know, 15 and 16. Now, all of a sudden, it's weird. How do you manage that? How do you manage a guy's, you know, what games he's playing in? Because now that means you do that at the beginning of the year so you know you can have him for those two extra games at the end of the season.
But that's interesting for the fans. That's interesting strategy.
You really think so, though?
I think so. When to sit Tom Brady or which two games?
Right, but that's fantasy football, right? I mean, how do you as an organization prepare your season for that when every game in the NFL...
The two Jets games, Brady sits. It's pretty easy. I
mean, yeah, but
both Jets games?
Whatever. Bills.
But those two games could be so critical. I mean, look at what we saw last year with the Miami Dolphins game down in Miami, the miracle of Miami. And they lose that game, and that ultimately affects them for home field advantage in the playoffs. So you can't just say,
We've seen them lose to bad teams.
Right. It's not like baseball or basketball where you got a ton of games. And you go, yeah, I will sit them for two games. You only got, you know, if you move it to 18, you only got 18 games on. You can't just say, all right, we're going to sit Brady for two games, which would be stupid to do. So I think the owners proposing this is just dumb. It doesn't benefit the team. It doesn't really...
Well, it benefits the team. They're suggesting $2.5 billion in additional revenue
I'm just talking
by doing this.
Yeah,
I know what you mean by in terms of the teams.
I'm just talking about the players only playing 16 games. I love the 18-game schedule because, like you said, it's more money.
So you would have been fine with it as a player.
Yes.
You're looking at it not just as a talk show host, but even as a player.
As a player, yes.
You would love it.
I would have loved it. I would have been all over it. I would have been like, yes, give me two more games. That means two more game checks. I'm with it. And because that's the thing, right?
What if they said to you, two more games, but you can play in all 18?
What do you mean?
You're getting two game checks,
yep.
But you got to play in all 18 games.
Yeah, I don't care.
You don't care?
Yeah, I'm playing 18. I mean, I'm playing.
I can understand why you'd say, hey, give me two more game checks and what? I don't have to play in two of those games? Yeah, sign me up.
Think about this, right?
Tell the truth.
I'm already playing in, you know, almost 18 games anyways because I'm playing in the preseason. So let's just say in the preseason, add up all your playing time. Sometimes, depending on who you are, unless you're like a Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski, which you're at the top of the food chain, everybody else is playing in, you know, playing in preseason game two or playing in the preseason game.
Yeah, but what are you playing, Wiggy? I mean, if let's say you're not Brady or Gronkowski or
right?
Edelman. Let's say you're a Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
Let's say you're probably only playing two preseason games or maybe
right.
two preseason games and a quarter. So you are adding time and wear and tear to your body.
What I'm saying is, as of right now, I'm playing in 18 games with the four preseason games. I'm playing in 16 regular.
Right.
And then I'm playing in a couple preseason games that might add up to almost two games. So I'm doing it now anyways. If you eliminate, if you add 18 games, I think what the players will then say is, okay, if you're going to add 18 games to the schedule, then you need to eliminate two preseason games. And the way that you, because the preseason, what a lot of people don't understand, preseason games mean absolutely nothing for guys like Brady, for guys like Edelman, even for like a guy like Kyle Van Noy, right? The preseason is for those guys that are trying to make the practice squad, or that are trying to showcase their skills for other teams, or trying to make that
Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, they're trying to make that 52nd, 53rd spot. So the preseason, you got to look at it as that should be for the younger guys. They should be playing in that. The vets and all that, you should be able to evaluate them during training camp, during game. Maybe you have some more like inner squad practices. That's where the evaluation comes from for those guys. You don't need four preseason games.
Well, the four preseason games, I mean, think about it, Wiggy. The four preseason games have been around for at least 40, 50 mm-hmm. years. I mean, it goes way back to the 70s and 60s when guys weren't staying in shape during the offseason,
right.
And guys were smoking butts and saying, oh, geez, it's July 20th. Right. I better get in shape right now. That's what camp is for. That's what the four preseason games are
right.
for.
Right. Or you are like, all right, we really need to see some of these guys play in game situations, guys that we're going to be counting on this year. Now, when you kind of look at it, you really don't need to do that. You can get away with, you know, simulating a lot of stuff in practice. And that's why the preseason, so I can see the players going, all right, we'll take the 18 games. You eliminate two preseason games.
I'm totally pro player in all this. I'm mm-hmm. anti-owner. I think it's just such a friggin' cash grab.
Oh, it is.
Such a money grab, and so greedy of the owners to not be willing to say, okay, we'll get rid. And I understand it's capitalism. It's business.
Right.
I know they're not going to say, hey, we're going to get rid of these two preseason games.
Right.
We're going to keep it at 16 games. They could do all that, and the sport would be fine. Business
right.
would be fine. They'd make money hand over fist. But I understand.
But, they're
greedy, and they want to take those two preseason games that they're not monetizing and turn it into regular season games in which they can monetize.
Well think
it.
About yeah, and that's at the end of the day. That's why the NFL is the biggest sport in the world. Because think about this. Not only do you add two regular season games, that means more money for them as far as when it comes to, ticket gates and, you know, people being able to go to two extra regular season games. Because if you see preseason, it's hardly anybody there, right?
But they charge full price for those preseason
yes,
games.
Right. But the thing I think
they jack that up?
Well, I don't know if they would jack that up if they're charging full price for the preseason. But what I'm saying, I think another way that they're able to make money on this is think about all those fantasy football players out there. And those fantasy football leagues, now you get an extra two more games, which means more money, you know, just in general for the NFL. Because I think
how's that more money for the NFL?
Doesn't the NFL have a piece of that fantasy football in some way?
I mean, there are just so many different fantasy football leagues. I know the NFL does a fantasy football thing on their website, but I don't think it's not a pay. It's not a hey, sign up for
right.
$30 and
okay,
you can select your own team on NFL.com. It's nothing like that.
Well, I mean, I think that they realize that it's better for the business all around. I guess my point is that, you know, people love fantasy football now, so they know if we can add two more games, this just means more revenue somehow will trickle down to us because of that those extra two games. And the NFL is big business. That's why they're trying to get everything done with the CBA, and I've heard that they're trying to get things done before the new CBA, before the start of this year. Yeah, this no. season. Because at the end of the day, the players don't want to potentially have to strike because, a large portion of those guys, they're living from paycheck to paycheck. And they're like, listen, do whatever you got to do to make sure we're playing and we're getting paid. And so I think the owners know that. So they're going to try to see, okay, how can we squeeze as much as we can out of these players and put them in a position where they have no choice but to say, all right, that sounds like a good deal. We'll sign it.
I'll ingratiate myself to you. As I said, I'm completely pro player. Mm-hmm. I wish the players got more money,
right.
got more, there were more safety concerns for them that were real. To me, I just wish the players could stand up. I wish they had the balls to stand up.
But it's not about the balls.
I thought they would do it with this one.
I don't think, see, like, it's wrong to say it's about if you wish they had the balls, because it's not about.
They don't.
Well, it's not.
They're not willing to give up the paycheck.
Well, because, listen, we've seen it all the time, right? We talked about it just on this radio station, right? If you're in a position where you can say, you know what? I'm not gonna listen to what they say. I'm not gonna come in here and conform because they want me to say this. I'm gonna say, nah, I got money. I'm gonna wait until it all works out for me. 70-75% of the players are not in the position where they got that FU money and they can say, nah, we don't need to play. You know, maybe Brady or Breeze, you're talking about guys that, you know, making $20 million a year. That can do that, but if you're talking about a guy like, say, Kyle Van Noy, or you know, Derek Rivers, or who you know, somebody like Landon Roberts, these guys are not in that position where they got that FU money and go, you know what? Let's not even do nothing. Let's just say the hell with it. We're striking until the owners, who are billionaires, say we're gonna meet your needs. Then their players ain't gonna do that. You're only getting paid 16 weeks, right?
Why are they willing to do it in so many other sports, but they're
not
willing to do it in the NFL?
The guaranteed money. The guaranteed money. Think about this. I don't know how the NBA works, but, I mean, I imagine if you're playing 82 games, you're getting paid over an 82-game period.
Yeah, you get every 2 weeks.
And the NFL, January 1st, your last paycheck comes. You don't get another real paycheck until September, you know, whatever it is after that first regular season game. So you got to go from January to September, and that's, what's that, 8-9 months? And I'm not saying they're not making good money, but you're living a different lifestyle. So you don't have
to. You can't get chosen to get paid all the way.
No.
All, you can't say.
Over the whole year?
Yeah, I want
no,
my paycheck
I try to
every 2 weeks.
I try to
year.
Do that with Gene Upshaw when I was playing, is like to have that as an option where players would be able to kind of like defer their money over a full year, or having different options, but you can't do that in the NFL. Because the reason why they don't want to do that is because what happens if you get hurt? They don't want to now say, all right, we got to figure, it's more work for them if somebody gets hurt, or if they cut a guy and they go, we owe him X amount of dollars because we're paying him on a yearly basis. You know, they're lazy in the league. They don't want to have to do that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Jermaine Wiggins, Greg Dickerson on this Tuesday morning. Ken and Lucy are here on the other side as well. We'll get into the Red Sox more on the 18-game schedule in the NFL. We'll get into the Red Sox, and I will tell you, I've now given up on the Boston Red Sox. It is time to sell. We'll have our memorial, Jerry Callahan memorial story of the morning.
All right.
Involving the United States women's national team.
Okay.
Well, I like to look at more as a memorial.
All right,
like,
I got you.
Celebration. That was yesterday. The celebration of Jerry's life was yesterday. Today we memorialize Jerry Callahan on this show. It's Dick and Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by the Lennox Home Comfort System. Make a smart choice about your home comfort. Up to $1,600 in rebates. Call Climate Zone, 866-891-7203. Today, conditions apply. See dealer for details. PLBG license 3316C. By the way, part of the proposal they've thrown out is an expanded playoff format as well. And one of the options would be adding a seventh team, a third wild card from each conference. Okay. Only the top seed gets a bye, and then you have three games in the first round. So that's two additional playoff games.
That works out.
Which,
you know,
seems easy. It's not an additional week. You get two more games.
You know, it's playoff money. You get paid in the playoffs. So, guys, it's all about, you make the playoffs, that means you get that extra cash, man. Straight cash, homie.
Patriots training camp, by the way, starting a week from Thursday.
Imagine that.
Braxton Berrios is there already, trying to curry favor with the coaching staff after a washed-out rookie year. Tom Brady is just bored. He's responding to Twitter trolls. He went at Hippo Razor yesterday, saying
that
he's much faster than you, Matt. Some guy named Matt Jack.
Did you see the video he put up
with the video?
The 40?
Yeah,
pretty fast.
Did he delete that tweet? Because I went looking for it. No, I'm asking you if he did, because I went looking on his Twitter page for that tweet, and I didn't see it.
I don't know.
So I don't know if he deleted it or not.
I don't know if it's
not,
on his page because he responded to the guy, so I don't know how
but
that
just works. Tom, I know you're a big fan of the Dennis and Callahan, Kirk and Callahan, mm-hmm. Mutt and Callahan program, so hopefully you're listening this morning. Just stop.
No,
it's Tom. I'm sorry, say that again.
The tweet is still up.
It is still
under
up.
Under tweets and replies.
Why would you stop? Greg, why would you? We got till August 15th before the end of clapback season. So
no, I'm telling Tom.
Let him clap.
Why does he need to clap at somebody named Hippo Laser 32?
He was skipping OTAs.
Right.
What the hell?
Tom friggin' Brady.
That's all right.
You don't need to clap back at losers
clap back
like that.
Season.
Tom,
that's all right.
Bigger than
trying
that,
to sell
you're
books.
Than that.
Trying to sell TB12 methods. Well, trying to keep the name out there.
To who? Hippo Laser 34?
Yep.
Did you see the... Go look at his video of the 40 he then put up in response to that. He looks pretty good.
You talk about the one where... the video was enhanced, where it was sped up, and he
was
threw in a flash.
Was that
the one that I saw? Was
yeah,
yes.
I thought that was him running off
in a big cloud of dust. There
I think
in
he
the
ran
back
like a .68.
Jeez, well, don't give up on the Red Sox yet.
I'm done. Yeah. No. 10-8
win last night over the Jays. Woo-hoo. Dramatic. Michael Chavis grand slam in the first. Come on,
time to move on.
Devers is
2020, baby.
Devers is on fire. Brazier was charged with 3 runs in the 8th, so they made it interesting again. Brandon Workman came on to save it. Tonight, it's Andrew Cashner with the debut. Going to be a huge walk-up crowd. It's not sold out already. 7:10 the first pitch on the Shaws and Star Market. WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Joe Castiglione and Dale Arnold on the call. And before the game, Eduardo Nunez DFA'd. Hector Velasquez option to AAA. We continue with Dick and Wiggy here in the morning.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hey, I love the idea because the first thing they do by saying you can only play 16 is they blunt any notion that they're not concerned with safety. Whether they are or not, they blunt that notion. They probably get rid of dopey exhibition games in which good players get hurt for absolutely no reason. Mm-hmm. And they put strategy back in football because now if you're a coach, which two games do I sit Tom Brady? Which two games do I sit Khalil Mack? Which two games do I sit Saquon Barkley? And you're going to have to let teams know because betting is a factor here. You can't say, oh, I'll let you know it's a game time. No, they're not going to let it be a game time decision. I think this brings tremendous interest and excitement to the NFL.
It brings tremendous excitement. I agree with that, Tony Kornheiser, from pardon the interruption. But here's the thing. How many coaches, Wiggy, want the added pressure of more decision making?
Right.
How many coaches want to say, okay, I got 3 more things on my plate that I have to deal with every single week. I don't want another piece of strategy that I have to deal with and do every single week. You and me, as talk show hosts or as fans, we love it. It's great. Coaches don't want that.
Right. And not only do coaches not want that, but as a player, do I want that? Do I want to be able to go into it knowing that, okay, maybe I'm not playing as well, right? Say I'm not playing as well and coach has to sit me because I'm playing in my number of games where I have to at least sit one. Then we've seen it here before with the Patriots in the when they did that documentary with Bill Belichick, and it was basically, hey, do you know the story of Wally Pipp? And when he tells Wes Welker that, and he had no idea, all it takes is for you not to be playing well. Now you have to sit because of this 16 games that you can only play in. The guy that they replace you for goes in and plays really well. Now, guess what? You don't get your starting job back now. Now you're so as a player, I don't want that. Don't put that on my plate. Let me go out there. Let me have the ability to play in all 18 games. And as a coach, now I don't have to deal with when do I sit this guy and when. Yeah, it might for the fans, it might be cool for fantasy football purposes. That's the way that Tony Kornheiser is looking at it. But his coaches.
Who cares about the fans? Jeez.
No, but I don't think.
They don't. The owners don't care about the fans. They care about their wallets. If the owners really cared about their fans, and they don't. They cared about their fans, they would either A, eliminate two preseason games, or they would simply lower the ticket prices.
Yeah, but,
and I understand that ain't happening, but if it did, they would show that they cared about their fans and their constituents.
But Ken, do you really believe by having that option in there where players can only play in 16 games, it benefits the fans? If you're a fan,
if I'm a fan, I'd like 2 more meaningful games, and I get to see Jarrett Stidham play 2 games. What's wrong with that? As opposed to 2 preseason games.
I get to see Brian Hoyer play in an important game in October.
Right. Woohoo! Right. But that's my point. You made my point right there, right? So sit
Brian
now,
Hoyer.
Now it's October. You have to sit Brady. You got tickets to go see the Jets at Foxborough play the Patriots. You're all excited to go see Tom Brady. Now you got to see Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham play because Brady is at his limit where the coach has to sit him.
Well, it's like the NBA. They take 20 games off
and fans bitch and complain because they want to see the superstars playing. So this is not a good thing for fans with this 16-game limit, because you might be one of those – you might go to one of those games or have to watch one of those games where you don't get to see –
but you get two more meaningful weeks of football. That is great
for
fans.
Is it really meaningful? Will those games mean something? Will they be good football?
You're not going to sit everybody
What if a coach says, you know what, I'm better off sitting three of my starting offensive line? I mean, do you make that decision? Do you sit one? Do you sit two? Do you sit three? I mean, there's continuity in an offensive line.
Ken, there's no way you could say it's more meaningful in any way, shape, or form.
In a preseason game?
No, in a preseason game. We're not talking about preseason. We're talking about the players playing in 16 games, that limit, versus the 18 games. Because you're saying you like the 16-game limit where players can only play in 16 games.
I mean, that's the only way the players would do it. Of course, I'd love to see them play all 18, but I'm not going to agree to that.
I think the players will agree to all 18 games because it'll mean more money to them. Why would owners want to propose this, knowing that this is going to alienate fans in the sense that, now wait a second, I got to watch two regular season games where in both of those games I'm not going to see Tom Brady play?
Alienate fans, Wiggy.
They would love this.
Yeah. You think somebody would enjoy going to a game knowing that Brady's not playing?
They go to preseason games when Brady doesn't play.
Yeah, and they don't enjoy
it. That's here.
And if the preseason games are not sold out, Ken, have you been on preseason games?
Tickets are
sold out.
Well, I'm talking about the people that actually go to those games and watching those games. It's not like...
It's pretty full.
It's pretty full. Not like a regular season game, though.
Well, you may have 1,000 empty seats, maybe, but those tickets are sold. And people like to go just because you get to go.
But what I'm saying is, from the standpoint of you watching the game, right? You'd rather see Tom Brady playing in a regular season game versus Tom Brady not playing in a regular season game because he has to sit based on this rule.
But that's not the comparison. The comparison is you're going to go watch a preseason game that means nothing, or you're going to go see a game that now means something, but Brady's not playing, but it means something, and you get to see Jared Stidham.
Yeah, we're not talking about the preseason. I'm with you on that. Eliminate the two preseason.
Well, that's what's happening. They're going to
But they're talking about the 18-game versus the 16-game minimum play. That's what we're talking about here. I'd rather say, this is what I'm saying, eliminate the two preseason games, have the 18-game schedule, and let the players play in all 18 games. That's, to me, is the best way to do it, and it makes the owners happy, the fans will enjoy it, the players will feel good about it, everybody's happy. To do 16 games, players can only play in 16 out of the 18 regular season. There's going to be some issue there because you might get caught at one of those games where you don't get to see Brady play.
At what point in time do you have to have your rosters in, too? That's the other thing. It's not 90 minutes before a game. When do you, if you're an NFL team, let's take the Patriots, for example, and Tom Brady hasn't sat yet, and it's week 9 or week 10 of the regular season, when do you have to tell everybody, gamblers, fantasy football players, all of the above, when do you have to tell them that Tom Brady's not gonna play this week?
Well, I think
tell them on Wednesday. You say Thursday.
No,
a deadline.
I think they would treat it like they do the injury report, right? So when you look at the injury report, it would be, what is it?
Hour before kickoff.
Yeah, it's like 90 minutes before.
See,
kickoff.
That's good strategy. Then you can't spend all week planning for Brady. You have to
gamble. I understand.
Prepare for Hoyer. Everything he brings.
But I understand gambling is not tied into the NFL yet. It soon will be, but. How do you say to gamblers, or how do you say
the same way it's for the injuries?
I know, but how do you put a line? If you're Las Vegas, how do you put a line on a game? Say it's the Patriots and the Jets.
Right.
And the Pats are minus 13 against the Jets because you're thinking Tom Brady's playing.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, Tom Brady gets pulled out at 11:30 on Sunday. Well, we're going to deactivate him. Brian Hoyer's going to start.
Right.
Blow up the line of the game.
As a gambler, you don't place your bet until the inactives come out.
I mean, you gotta wait.
You take a risk.
A lot of degenerates out there.
No, but
I can't wait until 12 o'clock on Sunday.
You make a good point because now you have to sway. You have to sway the whoever's setting the line now has to switch the line last minute. Like you said, Pats are minus 13. An hour and a half before the game, Brady's not playing. uh-oh, Pats are now minus 7.5 or something like that. Right. So you'd have to do that last minute. I mean, I think they kind of would have to go the way. I would know the NFL. I don't know the gambling way, but the NFL does it where I think it's like an hour and a half before the game.
Inactives have to be out by 11:30 for a 1 o'clock
game.
Right, so, 90 minutes.
And if you're a team, I understand there might be a little bit of strategy in that. If you're a team and we're like, all right, we're preparing for Tom Brady, and then all of a sudden, Brian Hoyer's starting. I mean, now it's kind of a little bit of a monkey wrench.
All right, let me skip over a couple of callers and take this one. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Jermaine Wiggins, Greg Dickerson, Ken is here, Lucy's here as well. Do you like the idea of an 18-game regular season schedule? If you don't like it, what exactly turns you off about it? Let's get Rob. Can you punch him up for me, Ken? Rob and Swampscott, you're up first this morning on WEEI. Hi, Rob.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning.
Morning.
Hey, Wiggy, you are spot on with this one, and I'm semi-shocked to say that because a lot of times your takes and mine don't necessarily agree, but just a couple points of clarity for Ken and for Mr. Dickerson.
Please, call me Greg.
Yahoo Sports and ESPN pay the NFL big money for their to use the NFL shield and to call out their teams and everything else on their fantasy sports. That's number one. So if you're going to go to 18 games, that's two more weeks of real play. So you would assume that would actually mean more money, as Jermaine was saying.
Okay? When you say it's actually 19, because I'm assuming you're still going to keep the bye. Well, obviously you'll keep the bye week. So Right. You're talking 19 weeks of NFL football.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the bye week. Nobody really cares about that.
Well, no. I'm saying in general around the league, it's 19 weeks of football.
But it's two more weeks of play, which means there's two more weeks of games that people can bet on and play in 1 week leagues or so that it's more money for the NFL because they're getting more money off of royalties from ESPN and Yahoo Sports or anyone else who wants to use the shield. Second piece is the preseason games. Let's be real about this, okay? The preseason games, people are in the preseason games because the season ticket holders are forced to buy those preseason tickets as part of their season ticket package. Okay, that's reality. And the preseason and the season ticket holders, they give those tickets away to their mothers, their brothers, their neighbors. You go to a preseason game and ask someone sitting down, are you a season ticket holder? Compared to a regular season game, it's all people. It's like a novelty for those.
Well, Rob, that was my point to Wiggy before is that these games are still sold out. It's just not your regular season ticket holder who is there weeks, one through 17.
But it's not the season ticket holder, the fan that actually knows the game. You might get a family because there's a neighbor of someone.
What does it matter? As long as it's banged out and they're not buying the concessions.
Because they're not watching the game, don't care. They want to be able to post a picture on Facebook and said, look, I'm at the game, but they haven't watched
the game. But who cares? It's a preseason game. Who cares whether they're paying attention or not?
But they still have to sell tickets. Every seat in there is not a season ticket holder seat, right?
As far as I know, every ticket is sold out for a preseason game as well. They sell them out. Maybe 100 tickets, that aren't sold out for week two of the preseason.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, you don't understand. The only reason why they're sold out is because the season ticket holders are forced to buy those tickets as part of this season.
No, we've said that, package. Rob. We've said that, Rob.
So then, if here's what you need to do. If season ticket holders weren't forced to buy those preseason tickets as part of their season ticket package, then let's see where you are for attendance. And then you're going to see Jermaine's point.
Right. Yeah, because I'd like to know out of the seats, let's call it what is it, 65,000 in Gillette, how many of those seats are bought by season ticket holders versus how many of those seats are not, right?
Right.
So I don't know that number. And I would imagine that there's still if season ticket holders are buying 90% of the tickets because they have no choice, of course the place is going to look like there's people there because they got no choice to buy them. They're probably giving those tickets away, like Rob said, to their neighbor.
Let's go to Mike in Framingham. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Two things. First off, the guy stole my thunder about the exhibition games because it's part of the package, right. So saying that stuff, it's stupid. And the other thing too is people don't like going to exhibition games because you don't get to see the stud. So now you can have two games where you don't see Brady, and the only difference is the game counts. It doesn't make a difference. I go first. If that was the case, then all those stupid other leagues would work. If it's just football, no, right. You go to see the stud. That's how it works.
Right. So, Mike, you'd be upset if they added two extra games and the preseason game suddenly became meaningful, but Brady couldn't play. You wouldn't want to go to that game.
No, it's stupid. Why would I want to go to a game? You know, the ones that Brady not play ever. It's the same for the playoffs. Then.
And it's not. And by the way, it's not just Tom Brady who wouldn't play. I'm sure you would. You would have four or five.
Maybe
other
Edelman
top-notch
doesn't
players
play.
Right,
but that happens in every week. There's five guys.
But Ken, you keep tying this 18 game schedule to preseason.
But that's what's happening, Wiggy. They wouldn't add two extra games, and they would lop off two preseason games.
Okay, so if you even and let's say you get rid of the two preseason games, and you got these two extra regular season games, right? The issue is going to be if you put this rule in place that says players are only allowed to play in 16 games. That's what I'm talking about. Eliminate that rule.
But they won't accept that. They've basically said they won't. The players won't accept that.
Go ahead, Mike.
And one other thing, too. Somebody made a good point yesterday. You have punters and field goal kickers. So are they exempt from this rule?
No. As far as we know, no.
Expand the rosters, then you got two kickers. That's exciting.
Then it costs you money.
Yeah, but now you're talking.
You're talking about owners. That's taking a little
extra billion. Take you can
little,
pay.
Take a little cut away from. Well, why can't you just?
But see,
why can't you just crap can two preseason games?
No.
Why?
But see,
because it's about money.
But see, Ken's not thinking how the players would be thinking, right? So Ken says, all right, add the two extra games. Now, here's where you say players won't accept this 16.
That's not me saying that. That's DeMora Smith saying there.
Well, no. But here's where I'm saying where I think the ultimately players will accept it. Because based off of that, right? So that means you got to carry an extra punter, an extra field goal kicker for two extra games. So what does that mean? That means that now that punter and that extra field goal kicker, they now eat into a real spot, a real football spot for a player to make the team.
Well, they're going
to
expand the rosters. They don't have to.
I mean, you can only expand it so much. You're not going to carry 15 extra guys.
They carry 90 in the preseason, so why not?
You're not going to carry 90 players.
70?
It's not college football.
65.
And have, college football and have 70 guys standing on the side.
Why not?
It's not how it works.
Here's how I see it.
Because that means you're going to have to pay those 90 guys more money.
Here's how I see it. Tom Brady plays week one in December, week whatever, 14, week 13. Brady plays. Patriots are playing the Jets in New York. It's a battle.
Right.
Patriots are down by two. Field goal kicker lines up. 40-yard attempt. 3 seconds to go. Oh, that field goal kicker? It's not Steven Gostkowski.
Right.
It's Joey Edwards.
Joey Edwards.
From the United
he's
School
probably
of
good,
Kicking.
Probably up
right.
And
no, that, Joey was good in Division II.
Yeah, he only gets to play in two games.
Right, exactly. So you want Joey trotting out there to kick that game-winning field goal in New York?
That's why the kickers sit early. You don't sit him in December. That's why you have Gostkowski ready in the bad weather.
Yet,
okay.
The weather's fine.
So Ken's
is just afraid of his own shadow.
In Ken's world, Joey plays in week three or four.
Right.
And they end up losing one of those games.
Week three or four.
Because of Joey. And now they win those games at the end of the season, but it's all of a sudden, it's like, man, we didn't get home field because we missed a field goal in week four that Joey Edwards missed from, Winchester University.
Let's not get on Joey anymore. Joey's already getting a lot of grief around here.
Poor Joey.
617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. The pluses and minuses of an 18-game regular season schedule. Wiggy, Dickerson, see you guys lined up on the phones. We get to you for hour number two of the WEEI Morning Show, of which doesn't have a name currently, so we'll just call it the WEEI Morning Show. More phone calls, more of you guys, more Wiggy coming up.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We had 57 ACL tears. Not a math guy. Does that likelihood go up or go down if guys are playing more? So where we start the analysis is not whether status quo is something that we're okay with. We start the analysis on, if I'm just pulling out ACLs or MCLs, if we have 218, our goal was actually to make those less. I mean, we would never contemplate a world where even if you're playing 16 games in 18, that's still two more weeks of practice, right? If the league wants to make a proposal about how to decrease injury, we'll hear it.
Damar Smith on 106.7 The Fan, I believe, down in Washington. One of the other things he says is if a coal miner is willing to spend more time in the hole, does it likely result in more money? Yeah, but is it a good thing for him as a person? That seems to be their talking point, because Eric Winston, who's the NFLPA president, said basically the same thing. They're looking at it like, hey, get back.
I don't see the comparison, but it's a stretch to compare the two.
I understand where Damar Smith is going and where Eric Winston is going, but it's a stretch to compare the two. You say that you think that the most players would agree to this just simply for more cash, for more money.
Yeah, because, see, what you don't understand is that I know it's the NFLPA, right? But the voice isn't really for the majority of the players, right? When you think about the NFL and you think about this, well, we don't want to do this because we run the risk of more injuries and that. But the voice of the PA doesn't always reflect a majority of what the players are thinking, right? It kind of reflects more, because everybody thinks about it, reflects the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's, because those are all the guys you see, right? When they need to get things done, or if there's potentially a strike, or if there's potentially situations coming down the pipe, you see all those guys. You see the guys that have gotten the good money, have gotten the guaranteed money. You know, you see those guys standing arm in arm. But the rest of the players, they're kind of like, you know, hey, how can I get more money? Because I know the average lifespan for an NFL player is 3.5 years.
Right.
I'm thinking about right now and today and making as much money as I can, because A, it's injury that could cut my career short, or B, they're always looking to replace me with the next guy. So I need to make as much money as I can. And if that means I'm going to make more money playing two more games, I'd rather get those two more games and make more money.
So if you're playing two more games but aren't playing two more games, if there are two more games being played,
right,
but you're not necessarily playing two more games as a player, then this is basically a no-brainer.
I think it would. Yeah, most players would go, all right, you know, I'll do that. I mean, it stinks that I'm going to have to sit out these two games, because there are going to be guys thinking, well, damn, what if this guy plays well and that kind of thing, and now, you know, he takes my spot. And a lot of guys might not be thinking like that, but they will be thinking like, well, shoot, I'm getting paid for 18 weeks, but I only got to play 16. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
Let's grab Chris down in Connecticut. Chris, you're up next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering, as a player, would you guys think that they would be apt to accept a deal of an additional season if they just added in an additional bye week instead? Like, two bye weeks a year, the guys don't have to sit those two games or whatever, but everybody gets an extra rest. They have the room for it on the schedule anyways if you're chopping out the preseason.
Were there two bye weeks when you were still around, Wiggy? Because there used to be two bye weeks at one point in time.
Was there two bye weeks? I don't think so. Okay. Not when I played.
At one point in time, there were, for a number of years,
Two bye weeks. I don't remember having two bye weeks when I played.
Would that float?
I think adding the extra bye week in there is pretty cool. I think it's good. But at the end of the day, I think Damar Smith, he does make a good point in the sense that you're still practicing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're kind of...
Yeah, but it's not practice like you practiced or guys in the 90s or 80s practiced.
Right, it's a lot different. I mean, when we were just talking about the Patriots starting...
Get out there in shells and run some sprints.
When the Patriots start in training camp here in a couple of weeks, you think about, you go to training camp. Training camp's now, what, like 2 weeks? Like 14 days? Yeah. It's something ridiculously short. But yeah, I mean, you add those few extra practices in.
We're talking about practice, man.
Right, I'm with Alan.
Not the game that Wiggy loves. Not the game. Right. Not the game that Wiggy loves.
But yeah, I would say, add, if you're going to do that, add an extra bye week in. The guys would be all for that.
You got to love the owners. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Kraft and Jones came up with this whole idea. You got to love the owners. Hey, our first thought is we're all about the players, everybody. Right. We're not trying to make a money grab here. We're about the players. It's not about us and wanting more millions of dollars. We're saying, yeah, we're going to play more games. This is for you, the fans, to play more games. But
we're not going to harm the players. They're not going to play any more football. That's it's smart by them because that's the way they're positioning this.
We say thank you to you fans.
Thank you to you
for
fans
for everything you've done,
especially those of you who are paying $150 a ticket
right
for a meaningless preseason game in August. Thank you to you fans. Thank you.
See, if I was in the union and I was with Damora Smith, I wouldn't be like so heavy on the 16 games, like, all right, making that, like, all right, if you want us to play 18-game seasons, we're only going to, but players are only going to be eligible to play in 16. I wouldn't be doing that. I would be like, all right, if you want us to play 18-game seasons, we need some guaranteed money. We need some guaranteed money. How can we figure out, okay, we need guaranteed money? If that means 18-game seasons, we need to figure out a way that you can guarantee money in some way, some form, because that's the biggest thing right here. That's what players want. If you're talking that to players, now their antennas are lighting up like crazy. That's the thing that I would be pushing for if I was Damora Smith, is how do I get my guys guaranteed money? Everybody. I'm not just talking, you know, because
that's a pipe dream. You know that.
I know it's a pipe dream.
It's not happening anytime soon.
Well, no, I know that.
I mean,
I asked, you know, I used to be heavy into the union when Gene Upshaw and I asked. And
were you a rep?
I wasn't a union rep, but I was all, because I didn't want to do all that, but I was always, you know, wanting to know what was going on, talking to the rep. And, you know, when Gene Upshaw came, always asking, why can't we do this? What's up with this? And the biggest thing is when you're talking about guaranteed money in the NFL, what makes it so hard is because of the rosters being so big.
Right.
And that's the thing that makes it very difficult to get guaranteed money.
All right, 617-779-7937. Wiggy Dickerson in this morning on Sports Radio WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.